Hi, welcome to Arby's Isn't That Bad. I'm your host, John Bilancini. I'm really excited for today's episode. We're on episode 4, and my guest today is actually the person who inspired this podcast. Her name is Emily Winter, and she appeared on my previous podcast, 1994. And on that one, she revealed her lack of history with Arby's and also her preconceived notions as to what Arby's really was. And so after that, a podcast was born. Emily is an amazing comedian. She's an amazing comedy writer. You can find her pretty much anywhere now. Like, she has been published in the New York Times. She's been in McSweeney's, Shouts and Murmurs. She writes for NPR's Ask Me Another. Chances are you've probably encountered Emily before, and if you haven't, you should look her up because you can find her everywhere. She's great. She's also getting married pretty soon, so maybe you want to, I don't know, Venmo her a gift or something like that. She's getting married to another amazing, talented comedian, Chris Calogero, another friend of the show, and wish him all the best in the world. But right now, we're just going to talk about Arby's for a bit. So we're going to move on to the episode. I hope you enjoy it. If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at John Bilancini. And also, I am working on a pop culture nostalgia website called 80s Baby, and I'd love for you to check it out. It's www.eighteisbaby.net. That's 80sbaby.net. Enjoy the show, and we have one more week to go. So come back next week for our wrap-up episode, episode 5. Thanks for listening.
Arby's isn't that bad.
I didn't even think about that aspect of it. Hi, welcome to Arby's Isn't That Bad. I am your host, John Bilancini, and we have reached the penultimate episode. And I know you're saying right now, well, you only put out 3 so far. And I'm like, yep, there's only going to be 5 of them. So I am really excited for our guest today. She is actually the inspiration for this podcast, and I'll talk about that a little more. You may have heard her on the 1994 podcast. If not, I'm definitely going to include a link to that, so you should check that out, and you'll hear a little bit about the whole origin of this and, you know, why this podcast came about. And my guest is a multi-hyphenate. She's an amazing writer, very, very funny comedian. We'll talk about all the great things that she does, too, and get into it a little more. But I just want to welcome Emily Winter.
Hello.
Hi, Emily. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
If you've, for the listeners, if you are used to our previous episodes where we recorded live on tape from inside the East 23rd Street Arby's, we actually just left that Arby's after eating, and we are in Emily's car right now. So we're currently recording while we drive and while she drives, and I try not to distract her too much. So hopefully this will work out okay.
I feel like having Arby's and driving a 98 Camry somehow go hand in hand. So.
It fits really well. That's right. You know, we just want to get all of the themes in if possible. So as I alluded to, we talked a little bit about Arby's when you were on the podcast, and I did want to bring up some of that up again. And just to start, where I start with most of the guests, what was your where did you grow up, and what was your fast food experience
I grew up in Illinois, and my fast food experience was we lived near McDonald's, but we also lived near I lived sort of close to Chicago, so Italian beef is really big, so we lived near a Pops, so I could walk to Pops. Are we good on
that's oh, yeah, we're
okay,
good.
Cool. So
what is Pops? I'm not familiar
Pops
with that.
Pops is an Italian beef chain. It's like a worse Portillo's.
Okay.
And before I didn't eat meat, I fucking loved that place. So
sure.
I grew up on McDonald's and Pops. And my aunt worked at McDonald's as an executive. So like, and she loved McDonald's. So she would like cook out McDonald's, like bring frozen McDonald's patties to cookouts and
really?
Stuff. So like we had a lot of McDonald's. Yeah. I remember the first time I had Subway, that was like such a big deal. And I was like, this is the best food I've ever eaten. my mom didn't really cook that much.
Okay.
yeah.
And I'm sure that's no longer your experience of Subway.
My aunt I was a really fat kid, and my aunt had a car that she called the Taco Bell Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we went to Taco Bell together, she would buy me one more taco than I had last time. So, like,
I think I remember you mentioning that.
Baby fat. So I like Taco Bell a lot.
I think I might have mentioned this when we talked before. I didn't have Taco Bell until my senior year in high school.
Did you love it and freak out?
I enjoyed it a lot. I was a very, very, I'm still a picky eater, but I was an incredibly picky eater as a child and then like through high school. So I think one of the reasons I was worried about going to Taco Bell was that I'm just like, I only eat meat and cheese. So when I went there, all I got were hard shell tacos with meat and cheese.
That was good, though.
Like, it is. It's fantastic.
The shell, and then it gets a little wet, and it wobbles a little bit in your hand. My God, I am actually craving. I would eat the fuck out of
it. It's so good.
I wouldn't.
So I didn't deviate from that order from 17 years old until maybe a year and a half ago when I finally tried something else at Taco Bell.
What was it?
I started eating the Doritos Locos tacos, and I love the nacho cheese ones. I think they're so good.
So is that a shell made out of Dorito?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, so now what I would do up until my most recent visit is I would normally get like two, instead of getting three hard shell tacos, I'd do two hard shells, and then I'd swap out a third one for a Doritos Locos.
Nice.
My last time I went, I got the cheesy gordita crunch. And that is life changing.
Really?
It is so, so good.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's insanely good.
I wish that they would do like meat substitutes or like this cow is grass fed and went to college. And you can eat.
Well, I guess you could do like a bean instead.
Yeah. It's probably not exactly the same. Sad. I miss those tacos.
Mm-hmm. So it was mostly Pops and mostly McDonald's and then Taco Bell was your experience?
Taco Bell. Subway.
And what was your impression of Arby's growing up?
That it was for weird people.
Okay.
Like, it was, like, for a different, like, suburban, like, I feel like sort of multiverse or something. Like, I knew that it existed, but, like, who goes there? Like, a different version of me that goes to a different school with a different mom or something? And I was like, ugh.
That one has glasses.
I also never really understood that shape was a hat.
Okay,
and then
sure.
What the fuck, why there was, and then when I did figure out that it was a hat, I was like, why is there a hat?
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to be a food store, not a hat store. So I think the whole thing was pretty confusing to
okay.
me.
Yeah, it's never, and I've definitely talked about this on previous episodes of this, it feels like it's never anybody's first choice. Arby's is sort of the place where you're like, well, We already passed the place we were going to go to, so Arby's is good enough. That was not my personal experience, but I do think that that is the way a lot of people view Arby's.
Who is Arby named after?
It's nobody. Arby is roast beef. So they just turned it into a word.
That's kind of clever.
Started in the 60s in Lordstown, Ohio, I believe, which is northeast near Youngstown. Or maybe it was Boardman, one of the two. But and then expanded everywhere. You know, and it's, I think now it's based in Florida, actually. But started as, for some reason, in the 60s, roast beef, fast food roast beef was big in Ohio.
Okay.
As I also mentioned previously on this podcast that my first experience was through Rax, which was essentially this, and no one has ever heard of Rax, but unless
sounds
like
a strip club.
Unless you grew up in like Minnesota or Ohio or Indiana, you never experienced Rax. That's like Rick's or Rax. But it was essentially the same thing. You know, roast beef sandwiches. They also did curly fries, like the only other fast food restaurant that I grew up with that experienced curly fries.
Do you think curly fries were invented in the 60s or later?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like I should know because they are my favorite French fry, but I've never
feel like an 80s fry to
done
me.
A lot of French fry history. Maybe they were. I mean, it does. It feels like a spin on French fries or something.
Yeah.
And I also have theories that I'm just making up right now, but I wonder if they're popular at these fast food restaurants in Ohio because One of the main ingredients is paprika.
Oh.
And paprika is a big feature in Eastern European cooking, and there's such a huge Eastern European population in Ohio. And that would make sense. I'm sure that's not really the reason.
I didn't realize that that's what I was tasting was paprika.
It's paprika, and I mean a couple other spices, obviously, but yeah. Primarily paprika, salt. And what are your thoughts today on Arby's? Because it certainly has a lot more reach in media. Like their ad campaigns are pretty extensive.
Right. We have the meats. So you're talking before we had our meal?
Yeah, before we ate.
As a person who doesn't really eat meat, I just thought like that place is definitely not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And these sandwiches, I mean, I think they're doing a really good job with advertising and making themselves look modern. the sandwiches look pretty good, I guess. I don't know. It's weird because it's kind of lunch meaty.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's actually what Dave Bertman said. He's like, why would I go get that when I could just go to a deli?
Yeah. Yeah, it's New York. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't really get it. Like, yeah, I just... So it's hot lunch meat and people are jazzed about that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, they do a pretty good job in the commercials, but that's not how I felt today. When okay. I saw the sandwiches, I wasn't like, those are the ones from the commercials. I was like, these are small.
Right. Okay. No, that's fair. Yeah, and they don't look anything like they do. My go-to is the beef and cheddar, and it is a mess. When you pull it open, it's just globs of cheese, liquid cheese product everywhere.
Oh, really?
I love it. I think it's delicious. So one of my favorite fast food sandwiches.
Does it go on liquid, or does it go on?
Yeah, it's almost like you would get for a Philly cheesesteak, essentially. It goes on liquid. They use it in a couple of their sandwiches. They do have like actual cheese there too, mm-hmm. but the beef and cheddar is a cheddar sauce that goes on roast beef, and then they put Arby's sauce, which is their proprietary barbecue sauce, on it, and an onion bun, which is nice.
Oh, love an onion bun.
So, like you said, you don't really eat meat anymore. So when I approached you to do the podcast, you're like, I don't want to eat meat there, which is fair. So what we ended up doing today is, at first we were going to try the salads at Arby's. I still haven't. We didn't. Emily brought up a very good point that side salads at fast food places are pretty weak, generally.
And they're all the same. Like, it's like, yeah, because I looked at it, when we walked in and I looked at the salads, I was like, oh, they only have, the only one without meat is the side salad. And I was like, that's just like... And like you said, it's just the stuff that goes on the sandwiches. Like, it's just like the lettuce that they put on sandwiches with a tomato on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I was just like, oh, I don't think that we're going to, like, discover. It's not like McDonald's. Like, they really did that salad push. I don't know if they're still in it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you could get, like, a bunch of different kinds. And they were gross. They were gross as fuck. And they tasted, like, grease and stuff. But, like, I just felt like this side salad is going to be so standard.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And you're not really evaluating anything then. Because it's not unique to them.
Yes.
So instead, what we opted to do was that we just ordered off of the sides menu, and we ended up getting the curly fries. We got potato pancakes, or potato cakes, I should say, which are essentially hash browns, mm-hmm. Mozzarella sticks, and jalapeno bites. Mm-hmm. And the jalapeno bites come with the Bronco berry sauce. And marinara for the mozzarella. I also grabbed some horsey sauce, which I used on the potato cakes. And what did you think about the sides?
I was impressed by the mozzarella sticks. Mm-hmm. They were good. I could eat 20 more of those. They were delicious. The fries were pretty good. Mm-hmm. I love curly fries, too. They're my favorite. Curly fries, win over waffle fries.
Okay, yeah, those are up there for me too.
Yeah, they're like taste the same, and I think they were good curly fries, but not great curly fries.
Okay, sure.
The potato cakes were bland.
Okay.
And then the fucking jalapeno nasties. those things were gross.
Yeah, I felt pretty much the same way about those.
Those were were like there was like cream cheese in them or some shit. Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. So I have to say, it's also a lot of fried food, and I was very hungry.
Very
and
true.
Now my stomach hurts.
Oh no.
So we'll see how the night goes. But I would say my reaction is mixed. I could sleep in a bed of those mozzarella sticks, but the rest of them I could, you know.
Okay, that's fair. What did you have any thoughts on the dipping sauces at all?
I did try two of them. I have like a baby palate. Like I'm like, oh, we're gonna put this jalapeno thing in this berry sauce, but it didn't do it for me. But also the jalapenos didn't.
Sure.
Also, but I don't really love like throwing sweet sauce on salty things.
Okay,
and
that makes sense.
And the marinara was pretty standard. I thought it was kind of fine.
Were you never? That actually makes me think. Were you ever a? You were never a sweet and sour for chicken nuggets as a kid?
No.
I really wasn't either. I would do it, you know, because it was there, it wasn't my favorite. Did a lot of honey though, actually.
Oh.
When honey was a big thing at McDonald's for the chicken nuggets. All time favorite is hot mustard, but
I never did any sauces.
Really?
I didn't even use ketchup.
No, I did when I was a kid, but I stopped using ketchup like 20 years ago maybe.
How come?
I just decided I was above it. I was like, oh, I'm too good for ketchup, which is the dumbest thing ever. But yeah, I was like, oh, you know, I don't need ketchup on French fries. I want to taste the fry, which just means I want to taste salt, essentially.
Yeah.
But I had never had a couple of these things. Obviously, I've had the Arby's fries before. On the episode with John Rosenberger, I got the mozzarella sticks, and I was blown away by how not bad they were.
Yeah.
Like, they were actually really, really solid version of mozzarella sticks, especially for a fast food place. And first time I ever had the jalapeno bites, not a huge jalapeno popper person in general, wasn't crazy about these. I did think that they were better when they weren't hot.
Yes, because at least they stayed together.
Yeah. And the first one I ate was hot, and I just got a whole jalapeno in my mouth and then proceeded to eat the rest. Yeah. I like the potato pancake a lot. I actually thought it was a good version of it. I'd say it's about on par with the McDonald's hash brown.
McDonald's a little bit thinner?
Yeah, you're right. It absolutely is. That's true.
But yeah, neither of them are like packed with flavor. It's more of a texture.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. This one was pretty greasy too. And the I did the horsey sauce, which I like a lot. I think it's great. I never ate mayo until a couple years ago, and now I'm sort of on board with it.
Yeah.
I like it when it's mixed with something else. Like, with horseradish, it's fantastic. But straight mayo, less of a fan. And the Bronco berry thing I could do without. It was, honestly, and I think I've mentioned this before, they used to do onion petals there. Way, way better side. I just think that the jalapeno poppers are more popular in general, so I'm sure that's why they went with it. But and that was pretty much it. You also got a Diet Coke when you left. What did you think about the machine?
Oh God, yeah. John watched me not know how to use a modern fast food Coke machine, soft drink machine. I didn't. The screen, it really just confused me. It really took my brain to the limits, man. I don't know.
It's fair though, because we didn't grow up with those, and I don't think I don't want to speak for both of us, but I think in general, like, we don't eat a ton of fast food now.
I never do. And I never even drink pop either.
Yeah, me
soda.
Either.
I just did it because I needed to get the taste of grease out of my mouth.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I did, in the one previous episode, I did experience a machine, and as you may have heard, I didn't get my mix right because Dave Bergman and I decided to do a variety, and I went too heavy on a couple things.
Suicide.
And I decided to enjoy it eventually, even though I really didn't like it very much. I was just like, no, I think it's good now. But yeah, so that was the eating experience. What did you think about the environment?
Well, it's so funny. For as many times as I've been on 23rd Street in New York City, I've never noticed that there's an Arby's there, which is hilarious. But if you're ever drunkenly coming out of Spin, the ping pong place, and need a beef sandwich for some reason, this is an option.
It's very convenient. It is there.
It actually is very clean and, like, pretty modern and nice in there as far as these things go. Although, I just went to a McDonald's. This is really gross. Just that I went super late. But there was, I was staying in downtown Chicago a couple weeks ago, and there was nowhere to eat. We were starving after a comedy show, and we were staying in a hotel, and there was nothing open except this McDonald's. And it was a McDonald's that used to be called Rock and Roll McDonald's, but
oh, yeah, I've been to that one before.
Okay, they've redone it, and it looks like an Apple store.
Really?
It's, like white, and there was, like, people, like, legitimately hanging out, like, people in nice clothes. And we were like, what is happening? And not people who, like, are in nice clothes and then, like, were crying and, like, left their friends. Like groups of people. It was, like, it was wild. Anyway. But as far as regular fast food places go, this was pretty good looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice store. It is the only nice Arby's here, which is fine. And that's also why I always suggest that one for these podcasts, because it's not, you don't feel disgusting.
You know what was kind of weird, though? I kind of felt like the people working there were, like, they took a really long time to take our order, and I felt like they were surprised that we were going to eat there. You know, I was like, yeah, we're here. Hello.
I have noticed they're not the most attentive people in the world. They're pretty nice, though.
Yeah, they were nice enough, but I'm like, yeah, we're doing it. We're eating here.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. Also, I think, not that I think that that was what they thought of for us necessarily, but that particular, I feel like of those fast food places on that block, because there are quite a few right there, that one tends to attract a lot of homeless people, I've noticed. I think it's because they don't really hassle the people inside. So, like I mean, the employees don't really hassle them, so they know that they can go there and kind of hang out for a while.
Yeah.
So that might be why they're a little hands off when it comes to, but I mean, when we're standing in line, you would think obviously we want to order.
Weird. I was like, yeah, we're going to get some food. Anyway.
I think we're going to move on to the rating portion of this. And if you are a new listener to the podcast, it's a very, very involved scale involved in rating the restaurant. It goes from Arby's is bad to Arby's is not that bad. And I obviously like Arby's a lot, but my ratings are based on the individual visits. So I could easily pull an Arby's is bad out of this. And I'm going to start with Emily, if you don't mind.
Okay. I'm going to say, mostly due to the mozzarella sticks, Arby's is not that bad.
Okay. That's fair. I'm glad that there was at least something that was enjoyable out of it.
Yeah.
Like, it we didn't completely strike out. It is usually also kind of safe with the curly fries, because you're like, you're probably going to like them okay, because most people love curly fries. But
curly fries, definitely not that bad.
I would say, apart from the jalapeno bites, which I would never get again in my life, I'm going to go with not that bad as well, because I feel like I actually like the potato pancakes a lot more than you did. I thought they were pretty solid. And then that, along with another good set of mozzarella sticks and very, very solid curly fries, overall I would go with not that bad. And also, the horsey sauce on the potato cakes was great. And I should have done some suggesting to you to maybe try that. But, you know,
next time.
It's cool, though. And it was good. So I want to say, Emily's our last comedian who's going to be on the podcast, who had previously never been to Arby's before. And as you heard in episodes 2 through 4, all of the newcomers to Arby's came to the conclusion that Arby's is not that bad. So I feel a little bit of personal pride about that, because
new slogan, Arby's, Arby's, not that bad.
Not that bad. We have the meats, not that bad. And we did not have the meats today. So and which also maybe made it Arby's more appealing, because we did not have the meats. But, you know, whatever. I'm going to be back next week for a wrap-up episode where myself and my lovely wife Amy are going to sit down and eat a shit ton of Arby's that I did not order over the course of this podcast. But before that, why don't we do some plugs? Emily, where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at EmilyMCWinter. Again, that's EmilyMCWinter. I screwed up when I made my handles, so that's why. Oops, I also screwed up when I should have turned there.
You can take Dean Street all the way over.
Okay, great.
And also, you can find Emily's writing all over the place, so definitely check her out. You know, she had a piece in the New York Times not too long ago, and she's super funny. You should see, she gives so much good advice about comedy and comedy writing in general, so you should definitely check her out. She's hilarious. You can find me at John Bilancini on Twitter. Also, you can follow this Twitter account for this podcast, even though we only got one more week. Maybe you just want to, you know when the next one's going to drop. And then also, I just recently launched a website, and it's called 80s Baby, and the URL is eighteesbaby.net. And currently, three times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I release new articles. They're all pop culture nostalgia articles about growing up, you know, and the things I loved in the 80s and the 90s. So if you're into nostalgia, you know, check it out. Please go follow Emily on Twitter and Instagram and come back next week. And Emily, thank you so much for doing this. Like I said, you were the inspiration for this, so I really appreciate
you making the time.
Also, check out Emily's episode of 1994 to find out a whole bunch more about her childhood and a lot of fun things from the mid-90s. Take care. Talk to you next week. Bye.